It's summer, finally, and the days are warm, vivid, and green. The vegetable and fruit guy in his makeshift hut is going full blast selling fruit, flowers, and berries. Some days it's just so hot and bright, my aging eyes squint into small slits so much so it almost looks like they're closed. As the sun wanes, resigned to its destination beyond the horizon, the day has cooled and now it's another beautiful evening. I know it won't be long till the air becomes crisp, green leaves turn brown and fall off. But right now, in the evening, there is the floral smell of lavender, petunias, and grass newly cut. A dog is sporadically barking somewhere in the distance. Oh, yeah. Summer Sunday dreams of long ago float across my mind of days gone past, with sweet tea in the evening on the back porch and pastures so green you can smell the color almost. Fondly, I remember grilling burgers long after the sun went down, walking in high green tree tunnels under the canopy of the woods, smelling the earthy forest floor yielding its fragrance from the heat of the day. It all inspires me to think of the round and round of the days of our lives. I think so many, although they may gather together around local campfires and pubs, they still feel isolated somehow and are a bit clueless on how to be anything else. Each in their own skin, knowing only their own ideas, supposing and speculating about everyone else's. I remember when I was in the Navy. I stood in the downtown center of Naples, Italy, surrounded by people and was still alone. I didn't have eyes to see anyone with me, nor was I with them. We were gathered in a group together, but not really together as God intended. Now, don't get me wrong. I was with some other sailors and we agreed on many things, but there were no real heart connections which caused us to feel united, other than being in the military and being generally disgruntled about life. I know a fellow who lives in a dark prison cell of his own making. God is with him, but he is not with the Lord and has no eyes to see or ears to hear. The Lord is willing to share his life and blood with the man, but the fellow isn't willing to share with God, and most of the time it doesn't occur to him that he could. That's a picture of a man who lives on a one-way street, one he has made. In fact, the Lord is closer to him than the air in his lungs, but he just doesn't know it. I fear his eyes have begun to get used to the dark, and he's been there so long he thinks that's just the way life is. We say we are with friends and we are together. But by far and large, our idea of being with someone is not nearly as large as God intends the words with and together. I'm Social Porter and this is Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation. Broadcast semi-live from the deck of a rural cafe, overlooking the broad and beautiful Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge, and every evening is pleasant. Let's amble around the Word of God like friends taking their time on a woodland path, being present and conscious in the moment to notice the small details. The Lord has imparted of himself into all he made, and this is part of learning to know the lover of our souls. Come, go with me. Sit back and relax and lean into the cool of the evening, and I'll be right back. Thank you. Genesis 5:22. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. The use of the word with in that verse is different from the other uses of with in different places. Why did the Lord pointedly make this time to stand out more significantly than others? All I can think is he wants us to connect the dots concerning degrees of closeness in our relationships. I knew a guy in high school named Fatty McDermott. His dad had a gas station in town. Of course, his name wasn't really Fatty, and honestly, he wasn't actually heavy at all. Oh, he was big enough, all right, but not in the sense of overweight. But his nickname was just something that stuck from his childhood, and we never knew the backstory. Now that I think of it, I don't know that I ever knew his real name. Even his mom called him Fatty. He was a pretty good fellow, broad shoulders with meaty hands gained from farm work, sky blue eyes, and a superhero square jaw. Anyway, there was something about Fatty that always seemed to make him just a little untouchable, meaning we might be in the same place, except you always felt there was unbridgeable distance in the friendship, like someone with some terrible secret that was just untellable, and maybe he really did have a secret, I don't know. He had his childhood stories of fishing and hunting, and we all laughed together and cut up and even fought some together, but somehow he was always a little removed. It reminded me of something like if Fatty and I were riding in one of those big long station wagons from the 60s. I would be driving, but he would be in the very back seat. And I mean all the way at the rear window. In the same car, going in the same direction, but there was always an unexplained distance. Fatty tried dating, but none of the girls stayed around for more than a few months at best. Later in life, I met one of his old girlfriends and asked her why she didn't continue to see him. She said that no matter how she tried, she just could not connect. I told her my riding in a station wagon analogy, and she agreed. If she was driving, he was all the way at the back. Every conversation was a loud back and forth dialogue with plenty of misinterpretations and poorly understood words, and there was always a feeling of not quite connecting. I don't think Fatty McDermott ever married. In light of that, I've remembered my young self, and I don't think I was much different than my friend. I was so bound up in my head and heart. I had so many thoughts in my mind, my mouth was a bottleneck. So I just never talked. And when I did, it was just surface stuff, you know, nothing of any magnitude. When anyone hung out with me, it was as if I was all the way back at the rear window of a long station wagon, in the same car, going in the same direction, at the same speed, just not on the same seat close enough to really be involved. It was difficult to have a relationship with Fatty or myself. Like Fatty, I never knew how to position myself so I could be part of anything. I didn't know how to be a team player. Other boys seemed to just be natural team players, but I totally didn't get it. I could be on the team, but I didn't know how to be part of the team. Sort of like the older brother of Luke 15. I was of the family, but not in the house. Thank you. I think we spend an unaccountable and inordinate amount of time believing we are connected to others. But for some reason, the close connections seem to still leave us wanting for something closer yet unattainable of ourselves. We relate to others by way of our disgruntledness with the government and complain about work or make snide jokes about life. Yeah, we may be laughing, but we are not really laughing. And we may feel like our group is together, but it's not really together in the sense God intends. Most of the time we use the word idea or concept of togetherness and the word with to mean we are in a general proximity, pretty much doing a similar thing, maybe even for similar enough reasons. Like, I was with my mom, or my dad and I went together. And I'm sure you can imagine endless scenarios and examples. We use the idea of getting with people or going to a get-together to say several people are gathering, as in a meeting or a social event, or someone is together. According to Webster's, with and together are called function words, as in someone who is a participant to an action or being in agreement. We all have a very subjective perspective of what it means to be with someone. If you ask 10 different people to describe how it looks to be together, you're likely to get 10 answers which are similar to widely varying. Like I said, our view of with and together is very subjective. As is my habit of loving to gather data and do interviews, several months ago, I started asking people what their idea of being together meant and what they thought was the meaning of being with someone. One lady said, "Being together with someone, from my point of view, means that you are with that other person and you don't hook up or see anyone else." She didn't really say what her idea of with and together was. She only offered one of the attributes. Her first thought was in terms of a lover-type relationship. She paused, furrowed her brow in pensive thought, then added, "It's complicated, because there's so many different views people have on being together, but I'm just not sure of what it can really mean." Notice she qualified her thoughts by saying, "from my point of view," meaning to me that she, like myself, knew it was subjective. Genesis 5:22. Enoch walked with God. We go to church together, sit with each other, them in their seat and you in yours. We sing with other people, them in their space singing their song and you in yours singing the same song, but their song is not your song. And your place is not their place. What God has in mind in Genesis 5:22 is much, much closer than that. And His desire is for Himself and each of us to be closer than merely sitting in the same row of seats, you and yours and Him and His. Closer, so much closer. He means for us to be closer to Him and Him to us than the space between your thumb and first finger if you were to rub them together. Closer than a brother. Normally, with is used to describe a relationship between two things or people. But in Genesis 5:22, the Lord means for us to grasp a concept beyond simply being accompanied, but closer, in the idea that God calls His people to fellowship with Himself, more than just being near, but to actually be in unity from beginning to end with God. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. In Genesis 5:22, with is spelled with the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, aleftov. When I say we aleftov someone, it is a simplistic view of with. Simplistically, to aleftov someone is to position ourselves to go together with in an intimate fashion which allows confident and free discourse, participation in an adventure of very close partnership, and sharing of attributes back and forth. When Moses was speaking with the Lord in Exodus 32, 9-14, the Lord says, my paraphrase here,
"Stand back, Moses, I'm gonna kill them all."
And yes, the English translation really is poor. According to the Hebrew, the Lord was speaking with Moses and was more accurately saying what he said as a presentation of an idea and was inviting Moses to offer a counterpoint argument. It was God aleftoving Moses and inviting Moses to aleftov him. It was an invitation for Moses to position himself so closely, like a branch is intimately integrated in the tree, that he could freely share all he was with God, who was willing to similarly and intimately share with Moses. With aleftov in the simplest form. Sure, I know it isn't always like that in the use of the word with, maybe, but I'm shooting at the idea that most of us really, actually, do not see ourselves as walking with God in the sense the Lord intends us to walk with Him. The Lord is willing, but we are so wrapped up in unbelief and self-condemnation, we really have a hard time seeing ourselves that closely with God. You and your spouse go with each other. You share all your breathing, all your thinking, all your feeling, like our hand shares all its benefits with the arm, or at least we should be. We aleftov each other all the time. Do you get it? Matthew 19:6. So they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put apart. You all walk closely together on the same side of the road where the two have become one, and it's a type of with in the sense the Lord intends. Exodus 26:17 and in Exodus 36:22, it mentions two tenons being fitted together, and how the two tenons fitted together gave definition and strength to the entire frame. From God's perspective, what fits together is a picture of union, like close friends or a brother-sister unity. Not merely associates, not just partners, but in God's idea of a friend. It's a picture of with. They are aleftoved, participating in very close communion, acting as one, bracing the other. Thank you. Judges 19:5-6. And on the fourth day they arose early in the morning, and he prepared to go. But the girl's father said to his son-in-law,
"Strengthen your heart with a morsel of bread, and after that you may go."
So the two of them sat and ate and drank together. Notice how this went where it says to strengthen yourself with a morsel of bread. Then the two of them sat and ate and drank together. The bread became intimately integrated with the one, and the one became intimately integrated with the bread.
Jesus is the bread of life, and taking communion also speaks to us of becoming intimately integrated with the bread, Christ Himself.
Then they sat together with each other as a single unit in unity, eating together and drinking together. Together as a type of with where we aleftov back and forth. There is unity and intimacy in God's idea of together,
with the first two letters painting a picture of a palms up hand reaching through a door of life.
Palms up is openness and an invitation for the other to participate. And the second letter is a doorway to life. It is the picture of a handshake to aleftov one another, first and last each other, to beginning and end each other. It is a two-way street of not just an action, but interaction. On the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, they were walking and talking, talking and discussing. It is a picture of with, in the sense of together. Then it says, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Together and with in the same sentence. Ah, this is significant. The word with, even in Greek, implies a joining in unity, an intimate handshake. Jesus aleftoved them as they were aleftoving each other, like branches from the same tree sharing in all the resources back and forth. I believe we as people generally don't see ourselves and the Lord like that. Somehow we've got this divided in our heads that we aren't worthy of walking that closely with God, or that it's not possible because we're just an old sinner, barely saved by grace. Well, what about the rest of who the Lord says you are? What will we do with that? Because God's view of the redeemed is important to deal with and own. Don't just get your dues for sin, get your gifts from God for His redemptive work in your heart too. Don't just break even, actually prosper. Enoch walked with God, with meaning on the same road, going in the same direction, on the same side of the road, his face in our face, his voice in our voice, as one in unity. I think a lot of people see themselves with God in the sense of on the same road, going in the same direction, but on opposite sides of the road, and that's not the heart of the Lord. How do I walk in close unity like Enoch with God? Together with God. Obviously, I am powerless to do it myself. But the blood of Jesus has bridged the gap. He is the bridge across the finite, us, and infinity, God. He bridged the unbridgeable making it so we could be with God in the sense the Lord intended from the beginning. By the blood of Jesus, you can walk with God on the same road, going in the same direction, at the same speed, on the same side of the road, together. That is with and together in their simplistic forms. The Lord says, "Come up here," in Revelation, like saying, "Position yourself for a better view of God and think about it." Genesis 7:1, there is a more interesting concept presented by God. He says, "I have seen that you." It doesn't mean he merely noticed the physical person, like in Genesis 12, where Abraham is saying his wife is so beautiful that when the Egyptians see you, they'll go wild. No, Genesis 7:1 means, "I see you," in the sense that I see within you. I see into your heart. From God's perspective, when he says, "I see you," "I have seen you," or "I will see you," he means that he sees and knows your attributes, what makes you tick, even your leanings and intentions, and where all those leanings and intentions will carry you, depending on every scenario and situation. The Lord wants us to know him the same way. The closer all things get to the Lord, the more all things become like him. And there again, it needs to be pointed out. Our greatest strength against darkness and this world is by our coming into the likeness of the Son. God's heart is that we fully share in him and he shares in us, like a branch shares in the root of the tree. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is good for all eternity. Instead of many sacrifices, his is once and for all. Jesus is sufficient and necessary, and his heart is for each of us to walk together so closely with God, he can hear us sweat, and we can hear his heart without using words, to share in all he is, again, like a branch shares with the root of a tree. He is willing. Are you? I'm Social Porter, and this has been Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation broadcast semi-live from the deck area overlooking the beautiful Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. This programming is meant to inspire us all to a deeper walk with God, below the surface of our presentation face where we're always being safe. Safe in our music, safe in our decisions, safe in our faith, safe in our opinions. It's time to walk on water. Take a chance with God. All music was provided by Michael Wolney, Trevor Gordon Hall, Marius Nissette and Lars Danielson, Yellow Jackets, Antonio Sanchez, David Sanchez, Guitar Republic, Jimmy Heath, and Jeff Scarrett. All music use is licensed by BMI. Support was by Living in His Name Ministries, my beautiful brother at Area 22 Guitars, Alan, Kevin, and Tommy at the Mebbin Freedom League, Tony and Danielle of McDowell Electric, Paul at International Tile, Shepherd Funeral Home serving down home potato salad and fried chicken while you're waiting for your loved ones to be processed, White Knuckle Studios, and Jeff and Karen of Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. The Lord says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every person what is theirs according to what they've done." He is sufficient and necessary. Always. Drive carefully this week. Be a responsible person and think before you act or speak. Pray for your neighbors. You truly do make a difference. Until we meet again, laters, baby, and amen.